From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Lord's Prayer, commencing a message entitled The Essence and End of All True Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we'd like to introduce the Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Armand Tomassian. In the course of this year's programs, we'll be presenting brief sermon clips from Pastor Tomassian's messages at the church to acquaint you with his ministry. Now, with a word from the Lord, here is the Reverend Armand Tomassian.
Beloved, we need to catch continually a sense of the brevity of life and the unending nature of eternity. I was just reading on Friday, I was just gleaning over the 39th Psalm again. I'm praying over the language where David says, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is. And there are other acknowledgments of the brevity of life there that David is bringing to and highlighting there in that psalm. A sense of brevity. Knowing that there isn't time. There isn't time. We have the moment. All the time that appears to promise a future for us is not guaranteed. The idea, and we get brought into this sense that there's time yet. You don't have any time but the moment, and nor do I. I have zero clue when God is going to appoint my departure out of this life. If I am going to do anything, it has to be now. If you do anything, it has to be now. There is no future in that sense that is promised or guaranteed. And so if there's a sense of something that is urgent, something we must do, namely that the Christian is called to proclaim the gospel, it has to be done now.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is a thing.
The Savior still waits to
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. In the preceding message, Dr. Cairns demonstrated the vital relationship which the final doxology of the Lord's Prayer has to the entire prayer, emphasizing that these words are not superfluous. The words, "For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Rather, these words serve to underscore the authority and power of our God to accomplish the petitions set forth in the prayer. Here we are called to think upon the greatness of God. Indeed, as we'll see, these concluding words echo the praying of every great prayer warrior. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, the essence and end of all true prayer.
As we continue with the messages on the Lord's Prayer, we will read this morning in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And we'll commence reading at verse 10 and read through to verse 19. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is it to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. Today we return to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. And to what is called the doxology of the Lord's Prayer. Having given all the various requests, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray for, and the for has the sense of because. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Forever. Amen. A doxology is literally a word of praise to God. It is praise uttered, and it properly bursts forth from the heart that has caught some sight of the greatness, the goodness, and the grace of God. The Lord's Prayer ends with a doxology. The Lord Jesus has been teaching us how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. He's teaching us how to pray. And he's teaching us what to pray. The parallel scripture, he is quoted as saying, when ye pray, say these very words. So he's teaching us how to pray, and he's teaching us what to pray. In this prayer, he has covered the great areas that we need to cover when we come before God in prayer. He commenced by making us think of the transcendent greatness of our Father in heaven. I don't want to repeat myself unnecessarily, but it's a long time ago since we studied that initial part of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. The approach to God is very, very important in prayer. To have the heart overwhelmed, I use that word advisedly, to have the heart overwhelmed with the idea of the transcendent greatness of the God whom we approach is altogether vital to our entire experience in prayer. So he commences by showing us the necessity of thinking on the greatness of God. And then he has led us step by step through the various areas that concern us as we speak to God. And now he concludes the whole prayer by bringing us back to the greatness of our Father, this time in a mighty outburst of praise in this doxology. The doxology of the Lord's Prayer echoes the great burden of Scripture. Or maybe I'd be better to say the great burden of the great prayer warriors whose prayers are recorded in Scripture. We have read in 1 Chronicles 29 how that David prayed. He was an old man when he prayed this prayer. He had already established Solomon upon the throne as his successor. He had laid aside as wisely and as generously as he could for the building of the temple. We so often think of Solomon's temple, and that's a perfectly legitimate description in that it was raised in the reign of Solomon and under the oversight of Solomon. But just about all the material for the temple was set apart by David and then by the people under David's example. And the entire plan for the temple was not something that originated in Solomon's reign, but in David's reign. We may well call it David's temple. And as he has now gathered all this material, and he's thinking of the great building that is about to go up in Jerusalem for the glory of God, knowing full well that he will be dead and then in glory long before the building is erected, he prays this great prayer to the Lord. And as he prays, he says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted above all. Riches and honor come from thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might." It is very, very similar to how the Savior ended his prayer. When Hezekiah was threatened by Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, Jerusalem seemed to be just a sitting duck waiting to be killed and then plucked by these heathen invaders. He prayed before the Lord, according to 2 Kings 19 and 15, and he said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, and hast made heaven and earth." When you go through the Scripture, you find that whenever and wherever the great saints of God came before the Lord, or when they began to think about the things of God and the challenges they themselves faced in the world, these sentiments always came bursting out of their hearts. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "Now unto the King, eternal and immortal and invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Jude, ending his little epistle, little only in its length, not in its importance, Jude came to the conclusion and the climax, and he said, "To the only wise God our Savior be," that is, be ascribed, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. You turn to the last book of the Bible. Again and again, the worshiping saints and angels in the Revelation cry such things as salvation and blessing and glory and thanksgiving and wisdom and honor and power be ascribed unto the Lord. So the doxology of the Lord's Prayer echoes the sentiment of every great prayer warrior of Scripture. You know what would revolutionize our prayer lives? If we never left the secret place until we could honestly pour out this praise. Now that's very easy to say. But just think of what I'm saying. Think of what a difference it would be in your closet if instead of simply going in to spend X amount of time and going through various rituals and salving your conscience that, yes, I have prayed today. Instead of that, you were to stay in that closet with the Word of God open before you and with your heart lifted up to God until you felt in your own soul something of the reality of this great doxology. If you didn't leave the place of prayer until you could honestly pour out this praise, "Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. Amen." I tell you, all our praying, both in our approach to God and in our asking from God, must lead to this conclusion. So today, I want us to think of the doxology as the essence and the end of all true prayer. I want us to see that it teaches us why we pray. It shows what motivates and energizes us in our praying. It discovers to us the true ground of our confidence in prayer. And it reveals the ultimate objective of all our praying. The doxology is the essence and the end of all true prayer. The end, not only in the sense of the conclusion, but in the sense of its design or purpose. So let's think of it briefly and simply together. In this doxology, we learn that true prayer is not desperation, but devotion. True prayer is not desperation. It's devotion. Now, when we come before God, we may be in very desperate circumstances and pray about them. The Lord's Prayer itself addresses circumstances of great need. I've pointed out in our studies already that these very simple sounding petitions actually cover the whole realm of human experience. Here the Lord Jesus deals with physical needs. He deals with material needs. He deals with spiritual needs. He deals with the need of forgiveness. He deals with the need and the various, let me say, dilemmas that arise out of our relationships, especially with those who have wronged us. He deals with the subject of temptation, and he raises the whole matter of what it is to live in victory over circumstances, over sin, and over Satan. Now, when you stop to think of all those things compressed within these few words of the Lord's Prayer, you'll see the Lord Jesus is truly telling us when we pray, we are dealing with great needs. And often as we try to face those needs, we feel desperate. But the doxology teaches us that prayer must ascend out of the pit of desperation, and it must mount to the pinnacle of devotion.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.